After leaving Myra's house, Elliot wandered aimlessly through the town until he found himself down by the wharf. He sat on the edge of a pier and stared down into the cold, black water. He could not understand how Myra had trouble deciding between him and Igor. He thought she loved him. Even if she didn't love him, couldn't she see what a foul person Igor was? It was like Madame Zeroni had said. Her head was as empty as a flower pot. Some men were gathering on another dock, and he went to see what was going on. A sign read, "Deckhands wanted. Free passage to America." He had no sailing experience, but the ship's captain signed him aboard. The captain could see that Elliot was a man of great strength. Not everybody could carry a full-grown pig up the side of a mountain. It wasn't until the ship had cleared the harbour and was heading out across the Atlantic that he suddenly remembered his promise to carry Madame Zeroni up the mountain. He felt terrible. He wasn't afraid of the curse. He thought that that was a lot of nonsense. He felt bad because he knew Madame Zeroni had wanted to drink from the stream before she died. Zero was the smallest kid in Group D, but he was the first one to finish digging. "You finished?" Stanley asked enviously. Zero said nothing. Stanley walked to Zero's hole and watched him measure it with his shovel. The top of his hole was a perfect circle and the sides were smooth and deep. Not one dirt clod more than necessary had been removed from the earth. Zero pulled himself up to the surface. He didn't even smile. He looked down at his perfectly dug hole, spat in it, then turned and headed back to the camp compound. "Zero's one weird dude," said Zigzag. Stanley would have laughed, but he didn't have any strength. Zigzag had to be the weirdest dude Stanley had ever seen. He had a long, skinny neck and a big, round head with wild, frizzy blonde hair that stuck out in all directions. His head seemed to bob up and down on his neck, like it was on a spring. Armpit was the second one to finish digging. He also spat into his hole before heading back to the camp compound. One by one, Stanley watched each of the boys spit into his hole and return to the camp compound. Stanley kept digging. His hole was almost up to his shoulder, although it was hard to tell exactly where ground level was because his dirt piles completely surrounded the hole. The deeper he got, the harder it was to raise the dirt up and out of the hole. Once again, he realized he was going to have to move the piles. His cap was stained with blood from his hands. He felt like he was digging his own grave. In America, Ellie learned to speak English. He fell in love with a woman named Sarah Miller. She could push a plow, milk a goat, and most importantly, think for herself. She and Ellie often stayed up half the night talking and laughing together. Their life was not easy. Ellie worked hard, but bad luck seemed to follow him everywhere. He always seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. He remembered Madame Zeroni telling him that she had a son in America. Ellie was forever looking for him. He'd walk up to complete strangers and ask if they knew one named Zeroni, or had anyone ever heard of anyone named Zeroni. No one did. Ellie wasn't sure what to do if he ever found Madame Zeroni's son anyway. Carry him up the mountain and sing the pig lullaby to him? After his barn was struck by lightning for the third time, he told Sarah about his broken promise to Madame Zeroni. "I'm worse than a pig thief," he said. "You should leave me and find someone who isn't cursed." "I'm not leaving you," said Sarah, "but I want you to do something for me." "Anything," said Elliot. Sarah smiled. "Sing me the pig lullaby." He sang it for her. Her eyes sparkled. "That's so pretty. What does it mean?" Elliot tried his best to translate it from Latvian into English, but it wasn't the same. "It rhymes in Latvian," he told her. "I could tell," said Sarah. A year later, their child was born. Sarah named him Stanley because she noticed that Stanley was Yelnat spelled backwards. Sarah changed the words of the pig lullaby so that they rhymed, and every night she sang it to little Stanley. If only the woodpecker sighs, the bark on the trees was as soft as the skies, while the wolf waits below, hungry and lonely, crying to the moon, if only, if only. Stanley's hole was as deep as his shovel, but not quite wide enough on the bottom. He grimaced as he sliced off a chunk of dirt, then raised it up and flung it in a pile. He laid his shovel back on the bottom of the hole, and to his surprise it fit. He rotated it and only had to chip off a few chunks of dirt here and there before it could lie flat across his hole in every direction. He heard the water truck approaching and felt a strange sense of pride at being able to show Mr. Sir or Mr. Mindansky that he had dug his first hole. He put his hands on the rim and tried to pull himself up. He couldn't do it. His arms were too weak to lift this heavy body. He used his legs to help, but he just didn't have any strength. He was trapped in his hole. It was almost funny, but he wasn't in a mood to laugh. "Stanley," he heard Mr. Mindansky call. Using his shovel, he dug 2 footholes in the hole wall. He climbed out to see Mr. Mindansky walking over to him. "I was afraid you'd fainted," Mr. Mindansky said. "You wouldn't have been the first." "I'm finished," Stanley said, putting his blood-spotted cap back on his head. "All right," said Mr. Mindansky, raising his hand for a high five. But Stanley ignored it. He didn't have the strength. Mr. Mindansky lowered his hand and looked down at Stanley's hole. "Well done," he said. "You want to ride back?" Stanley shook his head. "I'll walk." Mr. Mindansky climbed back into the truck without filling Stanley's canteen. Stanley waited for him to drive away, then took another look at his hole. He knew it was nothing to be proud of, but he felt proud nonetheless. He sucked up his last spit of saliva and spat.